Good day, family. Welcome to this installment of the Days of Encouragement series. My name is Jason George. I'm privileged to serve as a worship leader with us on Sundays at Shofar Stellenbosch. Today, we're going to be looking through Acts 13 as the follow-up from Acts 12 yesterday from Uncle John. Yesterday, Uncle John really brought home the story of affliction and how the Father himself feels the affliction of us, his beloved, of us, his children. And he really ended yesterday with quoting John 16, verse 33, where Jesus, after spilling a whole lot of promises to the disciples of how the world is going to fall apart, ends it saying, "But take heart, for I have overcome the world." And I really believe that Acts 13, above all else, above being a historical document, well, it is sort of a historical document, but above functioning as an exegetical document, it shows us a pattern for which we can take heart, for Jesus has overcome the world. All of this timing, all of these things that are happening in this time that we're living in, with COVID, with economies around the world crashing, with political situations being unstable, they're not very dissimilar to what was going on in the Bible when Jesus was walking the face of the earth, when the disciples were living in that society of the day in Rome. They're very much the same. I'm not going to spend much time talking about how similar they are, but they are quite similar. And it is in that spirit that Jesus himself, just before he ascends to heaven, gives us the Great Commission, the Matthew 28, "Go into all of the world, and share the gospel, share the good news, spread the truth of who Jesus is, and bring that courage and encouragement to people around the world so that many would come to know Christ the same way we have come to know him this time." And in Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas, they set out on a journey. It was actually, I believe, Paul's first missionary journey to do that, to take the good news from where they were in Antioch and share it with the rest of the world. Paul would later go on to have a few more missionary trips in his lifetime, where he would go and establish churches in Corinth and in other places, and he would write these letters, the epistles, later to these churches. But in Acts 13, starting from verse 1, we see a pattern of commission. The apostles and, well, the prophets and the teachers, the scripture goes on to say, were sitting together, they were worshiping, they were fasting, they were praying, and it's from that place that they gained an understanding of what the Holy Spirit would have had them do. And what was that? The Holy Spirit had them set apart Paul and Barnabas for a work that they were going to do. And upon their finishing of the praying and the fasting, they laid hands on them, they prayed for them, and they sent them off into all of the world. And one of the central themes, I believe, of this chapter is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mentioned four times. The person of the Holy Spirit is mentioned four times in this chapter, in verse 2, in verse 4, in verse 8, and in verse 52. In fact, we might as well read through them. "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" In verse 4, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." In verse 8, "But Elymas the magician," for that is the meaning of his name, "opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from them in faith. But Paul," that's actually verse 9, sorry, "but Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and proclaimed a few statements that are not really relevant to today." And then in verse 52, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." I mean, I mention all of that in the context of Paul having gone out and having preached a wonderful sermon to the Jews in the synagogue, where he brings an encouragement to them, retelling the story of the gospel, the story of the good news, all the way from, if I'm not mistaken, Abraham, brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and among those who fear the Lord, "To us has been sent the message of salvation." He goes on to share this good news to them. This good news that some receive, the leaders of the synagogue, of course, try to revolt against this. But most of all, as the scripture progresses, we see that the word of Christ is bearing fruit in the hearts of the Jews and the Gentiles, as is quoted, I believe, in verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading through the whole region. I really believe that that is our inheritance still in this day and age. In this time where we live with COVID, with all of the political instability, with affliction, with uncertainty, still the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ rages on. He calls us out. And he has given us that mandate that still remains relevant today. Even though I can speak in my personal life, there's been a lot of struggle around this idea of locking down. There's been a lot of lack of the ability to accept the fact that this is the circumstance that we are living in now. That creates turmoil in me. I've had a few episodes where I have been discouraged by not being able to see my family, see my friends. There have been a few people around me who also have lost their jobs, who've lost their employment. But it's in that situation, beloved, that Jesus Christ speaks directly to us, almost in a similar way as I'm staring you down in this camera today. And he says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. I really believe today that Jesus is inviting us to, in our discouragement, in our fears, in our anxiety, in everything that we may see as being wrong or not of the will of God or unjust, to find context in it. And that context is he himself. He is our hope. He is our future. He is what we are living for. He is the one that we should be deriving joy from. And I say that with all humility, but he is the centerpiece of this universe. And not just is he the centerpiece of this universe, he is the only one that is worth living for. He is the only one that is worth going to the nations for, going to our neighbors, going to our co-workers, all who would hear and sharing the good news. But even in addition to just doing that, let's submit to the Holy Spirit. A few weeks ago, George preached a sermon about obedience. Obedience over urgency. Obedience over this abstract idea that we have of following God. Oh, if I follow God, that means I must go into full-time ministry. Oh, if I follow God, that means I must X, Y, Z. And whatever end bit that we put to that, oh, if I'm following God. But let's rather follow the model that the apostles laid down for us in Acts 13 of hearing what the Holy Spirit would have had for us. And that is my encouragement to us today. The Holy Spirit has a plan. The Holy Spirit has a pattern. He has a desire, and he has a desire for every single one of us, you and I. Let us seek him today. And let his Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, bear fruit in our lives, that he would grow. Let's close off in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. The fact that your kingdom is marching swiftly onwards. And that we get to be a part of it, Lord. Give us the grace in this time to see you above our affliction, to see you even through our victories and through all of the positive and negative emotions that we may experience in this life, Lord. Thank you that you are the God of the universe. Nothing takes you by surprise, Lord. And we can have confidence in the fact that your plans for us are good, but give us the grace to follow you, even till the end of all time. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you very much. Have a great day.